Welcome to the Gorfine, Schiller & Garden podcast series. With the latest round of PPP loans, Congress has enacted some changes from the first round of PPP loans in 2020. In particular, expenses that are covered by the loans are now tax deductible. And today we're speaking with Alan Spiro, who is a director at GSG, more about this topic and how businesses can take advantage of this new round of PPP loans. And Alan, thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. Good. Well, let's just dive right in. If you don't mind, can you give us an overview of the latest round of PPP loans?
Yeah. Okay. So just a quick summary for our thousands of listeners coast to coast and internationally. The PPP loans were originally given out last March. The idea was that with the pandemic hitting and businesses that were forced to shut down, they wanted to make sure that people would be able to pay their employees their money. So they passed the PPP program, which was payroll protection programs, so that people would be able to continue working. There was a lot of confusion that took place when that was first issued, which I think we've already talked about in past podcasts. And finally, they got everything right. They got the process right. People were able to get their loans. Unfortunately, the pandemic continued longer than was expected, and many businesses, even the ones that had gotten the first loans, found themselves still having significant hardships economically. And therefore, the second round of PPP loans were passed late in December. The second round of PPP loans differed from the first round in that I think the SBA and Treasury looked at what had happened the first go around and saw where perhaps there were some mistakes or there were unintended beneficiaries that were getting the money. And therefore, they've kind of modified what you need to do in order to qualify to get the second round of PPP loans. A number of things that they put into place in order to get that. First of all, it's made for relatively smaller companies. So in order to be eligible, you have to have under 300 employees as opposed to the first round, which could have up to 500 employees. Secondly, one of the issues that they ran into is that they ran out of funding initially with the PPP loans because they were giving out loans as great as $10 million. Under this round of PPP loans, the loans are capped at $2 million. And then I think the third one, which is probably the biggest thing that they put into place in order to target to help the businesses that were hurt, is that you need to show that there was a 25% drop in revenue from what you had in 2019 versus 2020. Now, depending on when you were in business, this can be simply taking a look at what your total revenue was in 2019 versus your total revenue in 2020. It's based on receipts, which includes, you know, product sales, rental income, interest, dividends, et cetera, commissions that you receive. It's going to include all those forms of income. And at the same time, if you don't do a calendar-to-calendar comparison, you're able to compare quarter-to-quarter, meaning you would look at your first quarter of 2019 and what your receipts were versus your first quarter of 2020, what your receipts were. And if, again, if you have a 25% drop in any one of those quarters, even if the other three quarters you did better than you had the previous year, and even if economically, you know, I guess if your revenue is higher in 2020 than it was in 2019, but if you had this 25% drop, you will qualify to be able to get this second round of PPP loans.
That's great.
Additional things that they did that differentiated a little bit the first round of PPP to the second one is the first round, you have to have 60% of your, the way that the PPP worked was based on taking your annual payroll divided by 12 times 2.5, capped at $100,000 per employee, and that's how you would come up with what your formula was for what the loan was. Then, in order to qualify for forgiveness on this loan, you have to spend at least 60% of that loan on payroll, and the other 40% could be spent on additional expenses. So they've expanded what the additional expenses are that you're able to spend the second PPP loan. It includes PPE equipment. There's a lot of PPPs in there. But if you had any type of protective equipment that you had to do for COVID, supplies that you were buying for your business are going to now qualify, and other expenses as well. So they've expanded what you could spend that loan on. I'll tell you that a lot of the applications that we've seen, it seems that payroll has pretty much been able to cover most of the loans that people have been taking. So, you know, while that is going to help other clients that have, or other people that have not been able to spend the 40% on the additional expenses, but it seems that payroll has covered it and they have expanded what the additional expenses are that you can use to spend this money on.
That's great. That's great. What an awesome rundown there, Alan. And in many ways, you answer my next question, which is really about the main differences between these two rounds of PPP loans. But maybe let's dive in a little bit further about why there is value, because that does seem to be the big news hook about this, which is about how expenses that are covered by the loans are now tax deductible. Maybe we can dive a little bit deeper on that.
Okay, so let me just, if I just want to add in one other point related to the PPP, which is if anyone's in, the one thing that they changed, which I didn't touch upon, was that, again, the original PPP loans were based on 2.5 times payroll. If you are in the hotel or in the restaurant industry, which are probably the hardest hit industries that we have seen, they've expanded that PPP that you can take 3.5 times your payroll costs in order to be able to draw the loan. So I just wanted to kind of add that back in. As far as the deductibility goes for the expenses, so again, just a little bit of history. When they first passed the first round of PPP loans, the intent was that when these loans are forgiven, and that is the original intent, when the loans are forgiven, the intent was that this money should be non-taxable to the employers. So that if, in a simple example, if someone got a $100,000 loan and they used that on the proper expenses, and to keep it simple, let's just say that they paid out to $100,000 for the payroll and they met all the requirements that they needed to, they would get forgiveness on that $100,000. They would show that as other income once the forgiveness takes place on their tax return, and they would not have to pay taxes on that $100,000. The IRS came out shortly after that and said, while we agree that we're not going to make that $100,000 forgiveness taxable, at the same time, we are not going to allow you to take a deduction for the expenses that you use that money for. So again, if you were using the simple example of $100,000, if someone received the forgiveness under the IRS's guidelines, they were saying, we're going to hit you with, you know, and if let's say their business that year was a break even. So they had $100,000 of payroll costs that was used with PPP funds. They're now going to find themselves, assuming that let's say they're in a 40% bracket, they would actually have a $40,000 tax liability based on this expenses that were used that was paid for from PPP funds. So late in December, when they passed the new act, they clarified and said that not only is the forgiveness of the loan not going to be taxable to people, but at the same time, the expenses that they use that money for, if they were used legitimately for the proper expenses, they will be able to get a deduction for those expenses that they use. So again, in our example, this $100,000 that was used for payroll and the business was a break even with that money, they would be looking at zero taxable income for that year. So that was a big, I think it was big that they clarified it. It was always the intent, but the IRS had come out and said that we're not going to allow you the deduction. And I can tell you that from speaking to many people, both clients and just other accountants and people in the industry, there were a lot of businesses that were really going to get hit hard by this. So this was really something, it's good that they passed this, allowing the deduction for the use of those funds.
Excellent. Thanks, Alan. Appreciate this. And I know you and I discussed this previously. It might have been last week when we were preparing for this podcast, but it wasn't quite clear to me exactly how PPP loan forgiveness works. And maybe it is for some of our listeners, but I found what you told me to be very enlightening. So would love to hear more about that.
Okay. So again, when they first came out with the PPP, there was a very complex form that they came out with, how, you know, all these different pages that you had to go through in order to qualify for the forgiveness. Then, in order to simplify things, they said that if you had a loan that was $50,000 or less, there's a simple one-page form that you'd be able to fill out. You submit that to your lender. And again, everything, our listeners should know that everything that I'm telling you, you have to deal with your banker. We get a lot of calls from people from, you know, wondering, how do I go about forgiveness? The first step that they must do is they have to speak to their lender to find out what the process is. And their lender's got, you know, systems set up for how they go about doing it. But now what they've done and what Congress did is they said that for any loans that are $150,000 and less, there's going to be basically it's automatic forgiveness once you fill out this one-page form. It's a simple page. It's a simple form to fill out. You submit it. The SBA is entitled to come in and look at it if they want to. But if you basically say that you use the expenses for the loan for the proper expenses, you will get automatic forgiveness. Again, it goes to your lender. Your lender submits it to the SBA, and then you wait to hear back from them as far as, you know, that you've actually gotten the forgiveness. If your loans are larger than that, then there are more complex forms that need to be filled out. They are definitely more time-consuming. They're definitely more complicated. And there's just, again, there's a lot of confusion regarding those forms, and you have to follow it very carefully to make sure that you're meeting all the requirements when you're applying for forgiveness. Because, again, you got to remember, if you took a loan, whatever the loan size was, and they end up not forgiving it, again, they're not saying that you've done any fraud or anything by doing that, but you just may not have used all the expense. Again, in a simple example, if you thought that you were going to, you know, you got a loan for $100,000, and that's because you thought you'd be paying 10 employees. And it turns out that, without going into the details, if you only paid 9 employees, for, you know, because you didn't, you know, for whatever reason, you didn't have those 10 employees anymore, 10% of your loan is not going to be forgiven. And you are going to have to pay that back to your bank through the SBA, which, you know, I've also told people, it's obviously you want forgiveness. I mean, that's a great rule in life, but you obviously want forgiveness for these loans, but the loans themselves are actually at very generous terms. It's 100% SBA guaranteed. There's no collateral that's required. I think it's a 1% interest charge on the loan, and you have 5 years to pay it back. So if someone applies for forgiveness and doesn't get full forgiveness, it doesn't mean that the SBA is coming in, swooping in and saying, give us back the money right now. You still have time to pay it back. It's under extremely favorable financing terms. And it, again, this can still be a use of cash flow to help your business stay afloat while we're getting through this pandemic. So again, that's just something to keep in mind, that you want forgiveness, but if you're not able to get it, you're not able to get it in full. And I would suspect that most people that are applying for forgiveness, if they don't get it in full, they should be getting close to it, assuming that their operation stayed basically the same way that they were based on what they applied for. So basically the forgiveness should be happening. So again, it's just a question of making sure that you fill the forms out properly, follow the guidelines, and most important, as much as people like to come to us for questions how to do things, and we always appreciate it, it's the bankers, the lenders that are setting the guidelines for how you do the submission through their portals that they have, what documentation they're going to require, which I will add that this, under the second round of PPP loans, you do not need to submit anything for loans that are $150,000 and less. First of all, you don't have to prove for loans on $150,000 and less. You don't have to prove this 25% reduction in revenue at the time that you're applying for the loan. That happens at the time of forgiveness. But additionally, they also said that $150,000 one-page forgiveness form should be applying for the second round of PPP loans as well. So, you know, follow your lender's guidelines, what you need to do. And again, we're certainly here to help people if they have questions about it, but we don't dictate the policy for how that forgiveness is going to take place. That is coming through their lenders.
Okay, great. Thanks, Alan. And just overall, how can companies go about seeing if they qualify for the latest round of PPP loans?
So the first things that we spoke about, having under 300 employees, I mean, you know, God bless. If there are people with over 300 employees that are listening to us, please give us a call so we can start doing your tax work. But, you know, I think most people are going to qualify. That's not going to be an issue. The real question is going to be that 25% drop in revenue. And that's really a question of taking a look at your records, pulling together the information. And again, it's based on calendar quarters. So you're comparing quarter one to quarter one of 19 and 20, 2 to 2, 3 to 3, and 4 to 4. You know, again, I know I'm being recorded. To me, does that make the most sense? I don't think it does. But that's what you need to look at first. You need to take a look and see, did you have that 25% drop in revenue and gross receipts? And by the way, if you had your loan forgiven, that does not count towards gross receipts in whatever quarter you received the forgiveness. So some people haven't applied for forgiveness yet, but the ones that did, if they've already received it and they received it in, let's say, in the fourth quarter of 2020, and they look back at the fourth quarter of 2019 and they say, I had a 25% drop in sales, but with this $100,000 forgiveness, I'm now, you know, I have more revenue than I did in 2019. You back that $100,000 out of the calculation. So the first step is take a look and see, did you have the revenue drop? They've made the, you know, at least what we're reading and hearing, seems that the process for applying for the loans is going to be much easier the second time around than the first time. If you applied with the lender the first time and you were happy with the way that process went, and you're basing the numbers off your 2019, there may be very little additional documentation that you need to supply in order to get this second loan. Contact your lender that you got the first loan through. Tell them that you want to apply for the second loan. Ask them if there's anything else that they're going to want to need. But they already have your documentation from the first loan. And you're following the guidelines that you did on the first loan. So assuming you had that 25% drop, which they may ask to provide either internal financial statements, they may ask you to provide bank statements, they may ask you to wait, you know, to provide tax returns comparing 19 to 20. Ask them what they need to do that to show the 25% drop, and then hit the submissions, because the banks have started the lending process again. I'm getting emails from different banks, as I'm sure everyone is, saying that we're ready to start lending money. So this is the time that people should be looking at their books and making sure that they have everything in order to do the loan submission. But it should be much easier than it was the first time around.
That's excellent. Thanks, Alan. And just overall, tell us about how GSG can help.
So we've been here, you know, since March. It's been a non-ending tax season for us since the pandemic hit. We're here. Anyone has questions, if they need help getting their information together as far as showing this 25% reduction, if they have general questions about what expenses are going to qualify, we're here. We've been here. We've been here all year long to answer questions, phone calls, emails, whatever it is. You know, we try to get the word out to all our clients, friends, and associates to keep them updated on information as we get it. There's constant guidelines that are continuously being issued to clarify questions that people have. So as we get them, we try to get the information out to, again, to everyone that we can, and feel free to reach out and contact us, and we'll help you.
Excellent, Alan. It's a pleasure speaking with you today, and really appreciate your rundown on this topic. And before we sign off today, anything else to add or anything we may have missed?
Well, I'm sure we missed things because there's a lot of information here, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say go Browns in 2021. I have to say that.
Okay, that sounds great. What a perfect way to end this podcast interview with Alan Spiro, who is a director at Gorfine, Schiller & Garden, who was kind enough to break down what's really going on with this second round of PPP loans and what it means for small businesses and how they can go about taking advantage of this new round of PPP loans. And Alan, thank you so much for your time today.
A pleasure, Matt. Thank you.